The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PBD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 366. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this installment of the PBD cast. I will warn you, I am under the weather as I'm recording this episode. I came down with one heck of a cold. Which, you know, the way that the weather has been here in Ohio over the last several weeks, it's no wonder everybody is battling something. It's 60 degrees one day, it's 25 degrees the next day, it's 45 degrees the next day. Man, oh man, I miss when we had winters that came and stayed for a while. But nonetheless, I'm going to push forward, I'm going to move on and talk to you about this great episode. For those longtime listeners, you know that whenever I take a look at a WWE pay-per-view or premium live event, as they're called now, and we do a preview activity, then we're going to follow it up with a review activity where we're going to recap the results and talk about a couple other topics. And that is what this episode is going to be all about. It's going to be recapping the Royal Rumble with one half of the Pro Wrestling Pundit's Ringside Rand. Full disclosure, DJ Joy Blaze at the very last minute had to cancel due to a personal emergency, and both Rand and I hope, Joy, everything's good with you, and we're sorry for that, but nonetheless, we continued on, and Rand and I sat down and chatted all about what we thought about this year's event. And so, since it tends to be a little bit of a longer episode, I'm going to cut right to the chase, and I'm going to, first of all, thank World's Greatest Comics, because they are a great sponsor of the PBD cast. They have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, some cool vintage stuff. Trust me, you're going to love the store. And so, you should stop by the store. It's located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And if you're not from the Central Ohio area, you can still check out the store. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're very active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. All right, with that done, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Ringside Rand and I discuss this year's Royal Rumble. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down with one half of the Pro Wrestling Pundit's Ringside Rand.
We are poor for his attendance, but richer when catering is done.
Well, DJ Joey Blaze unfortunately had his parole revoked, so he will not be joining us this evening. No, in all seriousness, he had a quick emergency that happened, and, you know, for as of a personal nature, we're not going to discuss, but he had something came up at the very last minute, so he could not be here tonight. Wish you well, Joey. And but we got to talk. I mean, we can't wait any longer, can we, Rand?
Since he's not here, he didn't get any of his predictions right. Prove me wrong.
Well, I don't know if we can go that far, okay. But nonetheless. Rand and I are going to talk about the Royal Rumble, which happened this past weekend. And there's a lot of cool things that happened. I will start off by saying we are going to rate each and every match on a body slam system. 5 body slams for a great match, 1 body slam for an absolute stinker. So let's talk about it overall, Rand. Overall, if you were grading this year's Royal Rumble, how many body slams would you give it from, you know, start to finish, the whole production?
I think we're going to go 4. 4 out of 5. I don't think there's anything that's ever above 4.5. There were some low points. We're still not sure about the Alexa Bliss. That's a little bit of a disappointment. We're not seeing any progress on that story. I think both the Rumble matches were good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns was more than interesting. We saw some really strange outcomes there.
Sure. We'll talk about those here in a few moments. I agree with you. Overall, I gave it 4 body slams as well, Rand. I thought it was a pretty solid show. I felt that, for the most part, the matches were entertaining. They were very well done. And although we will say that some of our predictions did not come to fruition with a couple of these, but nonetheless, that happens. So let's start things off. First of all, before we start talking about what you and I were speaking about off air, I've always wondered this, and I now have to say this with a grain of salt, because when it comes to musical acts, I'm out of the loop. I'm out of the loop. But there, back in the 90s, all right, back in the early 2000s, when I still had a little bit of knowledge of the popular music out there, it always seemed that the WWE finds these weird people that I've never heard of before to be musical guests. And this is no difference. I wrote down literally, who the hell is Hardy?
He looked like one of the Dudley Boys who's in shape.
You know what? Funny, I thought he looked like a Dollar Tree AJ Styles.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I was like, I don't know who this dude is. Like, we can't find musical acts that we've not. And I know, like, obviously you're not going to go out and get the Rolling Stones, right? No. I get that. But some of these up-and-coming acts, like, it would be nice to have at least heard of them.
One of the big changes in the last 10 years, the music's not done in-house anymore.
True.
We lost the services of the great Jim Johnston.
Yes.
Wrote hundreds of great themes.
Yeah.
He was so good, you instantly listened to the music and you knew what type of character the person was.
Yeah, but you know, even with these quote themes for the pay-per-views themselves, I always feel like some of these particular people that are presented to us, like Hardy, like so many others, I'm like...
Bad Bunny.
Well, at least I had heard of Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
So I give him that credit. At least I couldn't name a song, but I knew he was a rapper. He was of Hispanic descent, you know. But yeah, some of these other ones, I'm like, come on, let's find somebody that could be better. But
I always thought the D-Generation X song was Rage Against the Machine.
No.
But actually it was a Chris Warren band.
Yeah.
Who I've never heard anything else from.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about what we were talking about off air real quick. Pat McAfee makes his glorious return to the announced position. We've talked about it many times. And I know, Rand, you're a huge fan of Pat McAfee.
Huge fan. College football season's over. We get the excitement of McAfee back. He seems to me to be a fan as much as an employee. He sells the excitement. He's not an over-the-hill wrestler who's prolonging his career. He is exciting. He's into it. And I was told that Corey Graves and Michael Cole were not told ahead of time.
And I believe that makes sense, because I feel like, as I was going to mention this, they seemed genuinely surprised that he was there. And I thought it was way too... Look, Michael Cole's not that good of an actor, for lack of a better term, to be as blown away by the return of Pat McAfee. Yeah, I like Pat McAfee. And look, we rag on Michael Cole, but I think Michael Cole's commentary is elevated when McAfee's next to him.
I can see that.
I really feel like that tandem works for some odd reason. And it was great to have him back. And it actually was an entertaining three-man booth. I'm not usually a fan of three-man booths, but I thought that they did a very, very good job.
In some ways, Michael Cole is the wrestling straight man to the two comedians who were color analyst beside him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get a whole lot of excitement out of him. You're going to get a lot of verbs, names and verbs, where the other guys provide the adjectives and adjectives. And
adverbs.
There you go.
It's all right.
It's been a long time since I've been to school.
Yeah, well, hey, you know.
Point was made.
There you go. Well, let's kick things off with the men's Royal Rumble. The first two participants are Gunther and Sheamus. And what a great way to start. I mean, if you are booking this Rumble match, throw out the two heaviest hitters that had one absolute, to borrow a catchphrase, slobber knocker.
Or banger.
Or yes, or banger. Then have these two come out and start. I thought it was great.
The only negative I saw to the whole Men's Royal Rumble, they announced Cody ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If they had just kept that under wraps, oh, man, that pop would have been immense. Yeah,
and there was a point late in the match, it's like, well, who else is coming out besides Cody?
Right, you knew.
What
it was telegraphed.
Like about the Rumble is 30 times in both the men's and the women's, you have the excitement of who's next? Who's next? Countdown. Oh. Sometimes the excitement's good and sometimes it's bad. But you have 30 payoffs per match. Who's coming in? Who's going to go after him? Who's going to be that team together, like damage control?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to work together? The Royal Rumble is like a mixer. You put all these ingredients in, and people who have never had matches before are now going to start having matches.
Funny you mention that, because I mentioned that I would love to see Karrion Kross versus Gunther. Because they briefly faced off, and I'm like, man, that would be an awesome one-on-one match.
I think Karrion Kross is massively underused.
I agree. I still think even though he was brought back, that they still don't know what quite to do with him. I also feel, and people say I'm crazy, but I also feel there's a little bit of Mark Marrow possibly there. I think Scarlett becomes the star of those two, and Karrion Kross fades to the background. I just feel that way. That's just my opinion.
I can see that. Kind of like Lana and Rusev?
Yeah, to an extent, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about Kofi Kingston, and he tried to do his obligatory stunt. We'll just call it that. I hate to say it that way, but
yeah,
and that turned out not so great. Now, one thing I will confess, I didn't read anything about him being injured, even though he didn't return to the match. So, have you heard anything as to whether he was injured or
no? I just thought he missed it. You can't depend on certain people to hit high impact moves. I think John Morrison did a couple of years ago.
Yes.
You
yes.
can't depend on those people to win the match when they're jumping onto the railings or the tables.
Well, my point was, you're jumping on it. Look, I'm in an office chair right here as we're recording. This thing's not very stable.
Right.
Why were you trying that? Why did you not get a steel chair to jump onto? Yeah, something sturdy. I mean, I'm sure it sounded cool.
You could have jumped on a sturdy chair, transitioned, and hopped like you did one other time. Back to the ring.
Right. Brock Lesnar was number 12, which was a little bit of a surprise that he came in that early, I felt. And man, oh man, did he just toss a bunch of people around with no regard for their safety?
Yeah.
Santos, God, he got drilled. Sheamus lands on his neck because of Brock. It was a little bit cringeworthy there.
And yet it was a short night for Brock, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he's eliminated by Bobby Lashley, which I thought was really good. Because let's be honest, we're going to see that. We're going to see that feud, probably up into Mania. But I did write down real quickly, like, it looked like Brock manhandles the one referee and they're trying to get him away. And then he just disappears. It was like there was no footage of him being like escorted up the ramp or anything. He just disappeared, which I thought was a little bit comical.
Brock is to the point where there aren't many people he can work with.
Right, and so I think Lashley is a good fit. I don't know if I'm excited to see that match because we've seen it before. I think right now, you're right, Rand. We're down to, we got to find those people that can actually hang with Brock. No more Brock versus somebody inferior that gets manhandled.
Well, we have Gunther and Karrion Kross.
True. I would say that those would be two very good
possibilities. He's not going to have matches against Chad Gable or Finn Balor.
Well, no.
Or Elias.
No. I don't think that those would be in the cards. Let's talk about Pat McAfee saying that everyone is watching on the cock. I was like, what did you just say? I thought that was funny, though.
Is that the silent L?
What do you
was
mean?
It on the clock?
No, I don't remember when exactly he said it. It was right around, I will say this, it'll be right around when Brock entered. He said it somewhere. Number 17 was Rey Mysterio, who no-showed because of supposedly Dominic beating his father up backstage. Of course, the real story is Rey has been battling some injuries, and he got nicked up again on Friday's edition of SmackDown. So rather than plugging somebody in, they just had it, the storyline that Dominic had beat up his dad. Look, I think at this point, if you have an injury, you mean to tell me they don't have a few people on standby? You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that right there, it could have been, hey, Rick Boogs, I know you're coming back Monday, but jump in here. It's a great surprise. Or you know, somebody, Braun Breaker, you know, we called you, Braun, come on, jump in there. You know, somebody could have jumped in to fill that slot rather than just having it kind of nebulous there. Number 21 was your pick for a surprise. Booker T, man.
Blind squirrel finds a nut. Does a spinneroonie. Right around that time in the late teens, early 20s, we had Dominic, Finn Balor, and Damian Priest. One of the few teams.
Yeah.
My guess was Bobby Lashley was going to team up with Omos and reform the Hurt Business with MVP. I still think that could happen.
Well, it's a bold pick because, again, we're going to, you know, obviously here and when we're wrapping up here, we're going to talk about some possible storylines, and that could be a possible one that moves forward as to where the Hurt Business goes.
Were we surprised Logan Paul?
I was. I was surprised by Logan Paul. I was also surprised that he did the Buckshot Lariat, that slingshot clothesline a la Adam Page.
He does it well.
He does it better than Adam Page does. We did overlook that Edge was number 24. And then as Edge was eliminated, Rhea Ripley comes out to attack him. Beth comes out to the rescue, which was very nice.
And yet she didn't come out during the Women's Rumble.
Right. That was very, very strange. I expected her to be one of the participants in the Women's Royal Rumble, and it didn't happen. And then, as we said, number 30, Cody Rhodes, which, again, was a little bit of a letdown. But
it wasn't the big pop excitement that it could have been.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. You know, talking about Logan Paul, by the way, after Cody enters the Royal Rumble, they do that insane springboard clothesline. I don't know how they didn't get hurt. Yeah.
Unbelievable. High flyer, high impact move.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's my only negative. I felt the strong negative for me with the men's Royal Rumble is I thought the Cody and Gunther went way too long. That segment, when it was down to the final two, there was like 8 possible eliminations or teased eliminations, excuse me. And I just felt like cut down the 8, cut it down to like 5 or something like that. It just came predictable that I'm like, he's not going over. He's not going over. And that was my only real big negative about this match.
Yeah, I can see that. I thought overall, though, I love the Rumble because you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people interacting. It's one of my favorite matches of the year.
Yeah, I would also say, I guess my other critique was there was not as many holy cow surprises in the men's. All right, let's be honest. In the women's, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, I felt like there was a lot of cool surprises in that.
So pretty much only Booker T and Logan Paul we didn't.
Correct. I mean, those are the only two, you know, because we knew that Edge, we talked about Edge being in, and the same that we knew that Cody was coming. Brock Lesnar, I guess you could say, is somewhat of a surprise. But he had showed up that previous week on Raw. So how many body slams do you give the men's Royal Rumble?
I'm going to give it 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're giving it 4? Yep. I'm giving it 3. Like I said, I thought overall it was really, really well done. When it comes to our predictions, I had Austin Theory, so that's obviously not correct. You had Lashley and DJ Joey Blaze did select Cody, which, I mean, we kind of all know that that was going to be probably.
Stevie Wonder saw that one coming.
Yeah, exactly. So that gives him one correct prediction. Next up, Rand, as we go down the card, LA Knight versus Bray Wyatt in the Mountain Dew, Pitch Black, Faygo Moon Mist, Citrus Drop, Big K. I don't know. I can go on and on and name sodas all night, but nonetheless, it was their match.
I really like LA Knight. I think he's got a good persona. I think he speaks well. I really like him. I hope that this doesn't bury him.
Well, first of all, I wrote down this whole match is in glow-in-the-dark. Naomi's going to sue somebody.
I was thinking that. But I like the way his LA gear...
LA gear?
Yeah. Let's go back to the 80s for our
shoes, yeah.
I like the way it lit up. I kind of thought there would have been maybe smoke and haze instead.
Well, we got a little bit of that towards the end. And I will say this, that I felt like the ending... I don't know, like, to me, I was like, what's going on? Who, I know they, oh, it's Uncle Howdy and that, but it looked like, didn't it look like he totally missed him when he jumped off the contraption there?
Yeah, I think Shane O'Mac and The Miz did better.
Yeah. In fact, I had read somewhere that it was the camera angle on the broadcast that made it appear that he overshot, but there was fan video from their cell phone, and it does, when you look at that, you go, okay, he does actually hit LA Knight, or at least he's in the area of LA Knight.
He used a coffin drop.
Yes. Darby Allin is cursing while he was watching that, probably. At least it was short. I can say that. At least it was short.
We still don't have the payoff for the Sister Abigail, Uncle Howdy, and so forth.
Yeah, which...
Ties into Alexa Bliss later.
Yes, it does. But yeah, like I said, I thought the match was okay. I honestly feel like this match could have been something they did on Raw.
Other than the ending, yes.
Yes, other than the ending.
That's the only bump for it.
Yeah, and I think the spectacle itself would have been great on Raw. I did enjoy that this match is taking place in the back of a Spencer's. I thought that was pretty funny, that line. I forget if it was Corey or Pat McAfee who said that, but I thought that was pretty funny.
Kids, that's a novelty store from 20 years ago.
Yeah, way back.
They sold a lot of black lights and posters.
Lingerie and other farting dick joke things and whatnot. Yeah.
If you needed a Heather Thomas poster, that's where you are.
Now you're just confusing the kids. You mentioned Heather Thomas. That's even a more dated reference.
She was on The Fall Guy. It's a TV show.
With Lee Majors.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Bray Wyatt goes over. All three of us picked Bray Wyatt to win. How many body slams did you give this match?
I gave it 2.
Same. I gave it 2 because, like I said, it was kind of boring. It really wasn't anything that really connected with me.
But I will say one thing. It is the best ever Mountain Dew Pitch Black match brought to you by Mountain Dew.
The bar was set very low on that, by the way, Rand.
Yeah. I'm just glad it wasn't sponsored by Mellow Yellow. That could have been a problem.
I hope in the next pay-per-view there's a Mr. Pibb sponsorship somewhere there. Anywho. 51,338 people in attendance. We talked about that. That they could hold 52,000 at the Alamo Dome. And I was surprised by this. This is the third time that they were at the venue. I knew that they were there once before for the Royal Rumble, but I don't remember the second one.
Would it have been the triple threat Royal Rumble by Mankind where he came out as Dude Love, Mankind, and Mick Foley?
That's a possibility. I remember the one that has...
Jose Lothario, Shawn Michaels, and Bret Hart. I know that was San Antonio. We did have a Austin Theory video package before and a Brock Lesnar package afterwards. So as they're changing the equipment in the ring.
Yes.
I'd rather have that than a product commercial. I kind of get annoyed when I'm making a pay-per-view or a premium live event and there are blatant commercials.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a lot of commercials this time around. And you know what? I'm looking it up and I can't seem to find the Alamo Dome. I know they had the one that had Mil Mascaris and Dory Funk. And that was, what, 95, I think. So there's got to be one between 95 and 2023, which again, nonetheless, I was still surprised that it had been there 3 times. That's got to be the most of any building, I would say, for the Royal Rumble.
I got a feeling that's going to be the trend.
Yeah.
Saturdays, baseball or football stadiums.
Yeah, probably. All right, let's get to the women's matchup for the Raw Championship. Bianca Belair defending against Alexa Bliss. Rand, what were your thoughts on this match?
I spent most of this match waiting for Uncle Howdy, the gimmicks and special effects that come with Bray Wyatt. And this didn't come across as a great match. Because maybe it's because I was distracted waiting for those gimmicks.
That's actually not a bad assessment of it. I just thought the match was boring. I wrote in capital letters, boring. I felt like the crowd was dead.
Sometimes I wonder how long you can have a pay-per-view show.
Yeah.
I mean, this was over 4 hours.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Even though it's a Saturday night and I don't have to get up to get to work, previously Sunday night, midnight, put a real damper on my 5:30 Monday morning.
Right, absolutely.
It's a Saturday night, but man, that's still a long time in person.
Well, I have to confess, I had made some plans, some previous engagements for Saturday, forgetting that the Royal Rumble was already going to be on that Saturday. I kept thinking it was a Sunday pay-per-view for some odd reason. So I had to watch it Sunday morning. And that also, when I woke up and I got out here and turned on the TV and pulled up Peacock and found the Royal Rumble, I'm like, holy God, it is like 4 hours and 48 minutes or something runtime. And I'm like, geez.
And that's not including the pre-show.
Right. The pre-show. Yeah, absolutely.
Which pre-show was basically like 7. An hour long commercial.
Yep, pretty much. I just thought that this was boring. I felt like, to me, it seemed like Belair and Bliss were just not hitting on all cylinders. Like, they weren't clicking. I don't know why. I gave it one body slam.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the Women's Royal Rumble. First two participants. Unlike the men's, where I thought those were two very smart individuals to go with, I don't know about this one because it's Rhea Ripley, number one, and Liv Morgan, number two.
Liv's improved a lot, and they're letting her, they're putting her in bigger situations.
Okay, agreed that she's getting more eyes on her. Okay, I definitely give you that. But if you're going to go that route, I think, again, pick somebody that would have been, that could have worked better, I think, with one of the two. Either
maybe they used so many NXT and new people they couldn't trust.
Well, maybe. Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. But I'm just thinking that, you know, like Liv Morgan, why couldn't we just find somebody that would work better with Rhea and Liv? I hate to say number two could have been Raquel Rodriguez. Think about that. A clash of the two titans right there would have been awesome. Or this would have been a great place to put Beth Phoenix and Rhea Ripley. That would have been awesome to start things out. I just felt like, with all due respect, like Liv, eh.
Maybe Becky Lynch could have been number two.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody trusted,
yeah,
and yet a big threat.
Yep, absolutely. Nonetheless, I mean, I know what they were doing. They're pushing Rhea Ripley to run the table, so to speak. But let's talk about some of the other surprises. Number seven was B-Fab, which I was very much surprised that they put her in this.
Did they really put her in for 36 seconds?
Well, they did. So, but she would not be the only one that had a short arrival and then departure.
Oh, yes.
Number eight was, as we mentioned, Roxanne Perez from NXT.
Dakota Kai, Io Sky. Maybe Natalya would have been a good number two. A trusted worker?
Yes, and she was number 11, which was kind of cool because we haven't seen her. She's been off on injury and whatnot. Number 13 was Zoe Stark from NXT.
What'd you think about Dana Brooke and Emma coming in?
Where they came in terms of the placement of the match?
Or were you excited for either one?
No, not really.
Second or third tier wrestlers.
Oh, I like Emma a lot, but she's been more frequently on SmackDown. Dana Brooke, it seems, is always somebody that we go, wait, she's still employed? Look, they were fine where they were, yep, in their placement of the match. I think they were A-okay. Here's one that I really was surprised about, Ram, because I had just said to myself a few days prior, whatever happened to this individual? And we're talking about the former Doudrop, now called Piper Nevin.
That was a big surprise.
It was. It was a big surprise
for
me as well.
Not only the name change, but hadn't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe she went back to
Scotland?
Yep.
Wherever she was from. I don't know where she was, but I'm glad to see her back. I've been a big fan of hers. I think that she has a unique look. I like the storyline of the power and the immovable object type of storyline that you would have with her?
Somebody in a rumble, somebody that's not easy, like Selena Vega, you can pick up with left hand and throw over.
Right, right. Yes, absolutely.
A formidable foe.
A formidable foe indeed.
I liked Asuka.
Yes.
That was a great surprise.
With a new look.
Different look. Yeah. Yeah, she lasted a long time.
Yeah.
She went from 17 to 28.
And then we talk about the shortest entrant, Chelsea Green, makes her Royal Rumble debut and lasts 5 seconds. I just think it's weird that if they are going to bring back Matt Cardona, that they do this to his girl. I mean, I know that's politics, nepotism, whatever you want to say, but I just kind of was surprised by that.
Do we know that he's coming back?
Well, that's a good question. There are reports that he is coming back. However, how long that stay is going to be is still kind of up in the air a little bit. Number 25, another big surprise that I didn't see coming.
Is this the first time somebody ever came out of the crowd?
I don't know. That's a great question.
We saw Lawler leave the announce table once.
One time, yeah. Absolutely.
Braun Strowman needed a tag team partner, and they picked a kid out of the audience.
Right.
WWE employee's son.
Yeah.
But the fact that they showed her in the audience earlier, you started to think, maybe The Undertaker is here.
Well, okay. I never thought that, but that makes sense. And I thought you were going to say you started thinking maybe Michelle McCool was going to enter it. And I'm like, no, I never did. I never thought so
until her music hit and she made that awkward step over the
railing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Here you go, too. This was a great thing. She was in street clothes. Because it added to that.
It wasn't like she suddenly pulled off her breakaway clothing and, oh my gosh, I guess I'm here to wrestle.
Yeah, right.
She went in like sweatpants.
You know, like something in Ugg boots, and they kept talking about her Ugg boots. But and then number 30, we have, of course, the return of Nia Jax. Hey, people, guess what? She's still awful. She botched that terrible slam and the riptide. I hope that she's only here for a one-off and then goes back away and does whatever she's doing.
She's dangerous, and that's not a good way.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. What do you think of the ending to this Royal Rumble match? Liv, Asuka, and of course Rhea Ripley all fighting on the apron.
It seemed like a variation of the Great Muta.
Well, right. Yeah. Yes, she does the mist, much like the Muta and Kabuki, but... I thought it was a clever way to do it. I just think that I would have liked to have it happen a little bit quicker, like bang, bang, bang. Like there seemed to be a lull there where they kind of battled on that.
Are you sure they were in the right place?
Yeah. And I was like, I think they should just kind of, come on, pull the trigger. But overall, I like the ladies' Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't get more teamwork out of Damage Control.
Well, I think we had pretty good amount there. I did like that Becky Lynch was absolutely hell-bent on getting her hands on Damage Control. I thought that storyline was great. Overall, what did you give it? How many body slams?
I gave it 3. Too many people from NXT. I think they have enough people on the main roster. They could have... A lot of these were less familiar names.
Okay. All right. That's a good point. I gave it 4 body slams because I really liked it. I thought it was very, very well done. Great amount of surprises. And speaking of surprises, Rand, you selected Rhea Ripley to win, where Joey and I had Raquel Rodriguez, who, by the way...
She was not number 25.
That was 20, Michelle McCool.
25th one left. She was the 25th person eliminated.
Oh, the 25th person eliminated. Okay, gotcha. So, yeah, she lasted quite a while. She lasted quite a while. I mean, and let's be honest, we overlooked this too. Gunther made himself a star too with his performance in the Royal Rumble.
Certainly did a lot, yes. Rhea's already a star.
Oh, yes, indeed. She is, and we'll talk about her selection, which was on Raw this past week. Just a couple days ago. I don't know. Anyways.
Were you surprised she announced it so early?
Yeah.
As did Cody.
Right. I was both surprised by both of those announcements. And just the timing of them, not who the opponent was going to be, because let's be honest, on paper, those are the best two matchups you could have.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Even though Roman Reigns was kind of a guarantee because he's got both belts still, which we'll get to his match in a minute. You know what? By the way, we all picked Bianca Belair. I forgot to mention that. We all picked her to go over, so we all get a point, I guess you could say, for our predictions. So that leaves us with the main event. But before we get to the main event, I gotta let everybody know about my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. They are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They have, of course, single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, comic book supplies, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got some really cool vintage stuff behind the counter. You need to check out the store. And I know some of you might say, well, I don't live in Central Ohio, John. Well, that's okay. You can still check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com. And you can check them out on their Facebook page, of which they're very, very active on it. And that is simply facebook.com/WGComics.
Now, after the Women's Royal Rumble, we saw a Braun Strowman video package while they were setting up the ring for the party to play music. Maybe they could have the sound stage by the entrance ramp or somewhere else in the stadium. Does this seem like it was awkward timing in the show?
Can I be honest with you? I didn't even write that down because I totally forgot that that happened, because I ended up fast-forwarding through it because I'm like, I don't care about Hardy. I don't, unless it's Matt or Jeff, I don't give a damn. Right. So, yeah, I totally fast-forwarded it.
Then we saw a Bloodline history package while they were taking the equipment out. When Roman came out, no Solo with him, none of the Usos, only Sammy and Paul Heyman.
Yep.
Which put questions in your mind.
Oh, it did. It did. Look, this match was really good. They gave you everything that you wanted.
Back and forth, a lot of strong hits. The two times that Roman slammed Kevin Owens into the ring steps.
Oh, yeah.
Scared me. Like he missed it, I've never seen anybody thrown into the steps.
Yeah, body slammed onto the steps. Yeah, absolutely.
And it looked like he hit his head once or twice.
Owens always takes those weird bumps. I remember, I have in fact, over there on the shelf, there's a DVD from Ring of Honor that I have where he took a kind of like a press slam from the apron onto the guardrail. Like, yeah, and like clips his back. And it was like, dude, why? That's just so scary, but... The man's willing to take risks.
He made the main event.
Yeah, he did. However, he did not walk away with the championship as Roman retains. I gave this match 4 body slams. I thought it was very, very good. Could have maybe been a slightly bit shorter, but overall, I thought it was very good. What say you?
I watched it late at night, and it seemed longer than it should have been.
Okay.
Because... you get after 11 o'clock, you're catching up on midnight. Typical ref bump.
Yep.
Misses KO with a 5 count.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a 3 or 4 count, a 5 count. We see a lot of great back and forth action, but at the end of it, 881 days.
Yeah.
Acknowledge.
And then we have the post-match stuff, which, by the way, I liked it so much, I gave it also a body slam rating. I don't know if you did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I liked it. The Bloodline, of course, beats on KO after the match. Solo's there. The Usos
handcuffed,
are there.
Completely defenseless, knocked out. I will tell you, when it comes to drama, the strongest emotion we have is sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens is defenseless, handcuffed, passed out, and they're taking turns, super kicking him.
Yeah, just teeing off on him. And, you know, especially even when you add that idea of the sympathy, when you add it to what he had already went through. You know, there's 2 slams on the staffs. Yeah, right, throughout the match. I mean, so it was great, of course.
Roman asked Sammy to put the chair to him, and Sammy hesitates, doesn't want to do it. Roman yells at him. Turns his back. Never turn your back on the man with a chair.
No.
He hits Roman in the back. Roman sells it. Paul Heyman sells it.
He did magnificent work.
The Usos are now split.
Correct.
Who saw that coming?
You know what? They sowed the seeds, but I really didn't see that because, again, I feel like Mania comes around, we're seeing Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the Usos. I think that that's
what
we're going for.
They could repair the family bloodline, yeah.
Yeah, so I was surprised by that because I was like, well, I think they got to start, as you said, repairing it. They got to start stitching it back up. But, overall.
Did you ever expect to hear an F.U. Roman chant?
No, but I liked it because that shows how much the people are into it.
This was not a hurried storyline. This storyline took months. All six of them were incredible.
Yes, I agree. And
this is one of the best angles in years.
Rand, I want to know what's going to happen Friday on SmackDown. I mean, throughout this entire run of the Bloodline, that has been probably the number one reason to tune in to SmackDown. Was like, I want to see what's going to go on with this storyline. You know, obviously, when we had the change a few months ago, 5 or 6 months ago, when we had the change in leadership, that was another reason why I was so adamant that I got to watch Raw, I got to watch SmackDown, I want to see what changes are made. But again, the Bloodline has been money. And I'm going to say this, there might be some people out there going, well, they should keep it going. No, perfect timing to switch it.
There's a lot to this. We don't know what's going to happen next. Are the Usos going to get back together? It's not just the champ with his entourage around him and protecting him. We've seen that before.
Right.
Whether it was DX and Triple H, whether it was NWO around Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
This was one questionable member, desperate to get in, sees the other guys going too far, and thinks about his friend that's getting annihilated. This time it was somebody who mattered enough to Sammy that he stood up for him.
And that's
a series of people that he'd beaten up for months.
Right. And here's the other thing. This is going to sound ridiculous maybe to some of the listeners, but it's relatable.
Yeah.
It's relatable that you would maybe have to stand up for maybe that coworker that everybody picks on and, you know, or
the
whatnot.
The new employee's getting picked on.
Right. Absolutely. You know, so again, it's relatable. Joey had picked Kevin Owens in his very, by the way, more props to Joey. I know he's not here tonight, but that scenario you mapped out last week was fantastic. I still think that that could have worked wonders.
Are we going to get a split title?
I don't know. I hope not.
Is there only one pay-per-view before Mania? I know the Elimination Chamber is in 3 weeks in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one in the other 6 weeks?
That I do not believe. I believe that we have... Yeah, the only thing that we have is we have the Elimination Chamber. They are taking, obviously, March off. And then, yeah, so it's Elimination Chamber, then Mania, which, you know, since we've wrapped up the recap of the Royal Rumble, let's talk about some storylines maybe coming forth after Monday night's Raw. I don't like the Elimination Chamber before WrestleMania. I think it's a bad idea. How many times in the past, Rand, have we seen somebody get injured and that's messed up Mania plans?
That's a pretty extreme match to put on when you're making big plans for the pay-per-view coming up.
Yeah, I don't understand why they can't, like, pick Fastlane and put Fastlane on in February and then move, you know, Elimination Chamber to the end, you know, the end of summer or the beginning of fall. I just don't, number one, I don't even like the match. I have to confess, I've never liked the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. I think it's just...
Do you think they spent so much money on the equipment they feel obligated?
Oh, without a doubt, yes. I'm sure of that. Absolutely. But I will give this a little bit of a tip of the hat. Historically, it's always been for the WWE Championship, the World Championship, and this time they're putting the U.S. title on the line in the men's Elimination Chamber. I like that because at least that makes that title even more important. You know, we talk about how these secondary titles don't really matter or whatnot. I feel like this will help to prove that it does indeed count as a major title. Austin Theory's title, yes. So we have that going on. Obviously, as we talked, you know, the Bloodline, we'll wait and see on Friday what comes of that. Rand, are there any storylines that you're kind of looking forward to after seeing the Rumble and seeing Raw on Monday night?
Where does Gunther go from here?
That's a great question. That's an excellent question because he's got all the momentum. He's got to do something. Same with Raquel Rodriguez as well. Got to keep that momentum forward. I think what you have to do, especially with Raquel, because she is the baby face. You got to find a villain that you can pair her off with that villain for a few shows, you know, whether it be
Shayna Baszler.
That would be a good one because, again, they have that that storyline there where I believe it was Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey who injured Raquel Rodriguez's arm. Mm-hmm. I think they could pick that up and certainly run with that.
Where is Ronda Rousey?
Ugh, hopefully gone, but I digress.
Big star.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Look, she's probably going to take her obligatory time off like she normally does. I'm so over Ronda Rousey, I could care less. But you know what? Here's another thing that they could do. I don't know what her status is. Aaliyah is apparently still rehabbing her injury, but if she came back, you could put Raquel with Aaliyah and pick up where they left off with the tag team title run. That I could see, certainly. I don't think that would be a step down. And as for Gunther, I think that really they should get him away from the Brawling Brutes and the Bangers as well. All right, I think that those two factions can go do their own thing. I think Gunther has to find a really solid competitor to defend that Intercontinental title against.
Does he leave his group or does he stay?
Well, I think that the other two members of Imperium are going to kind of fade a little bit to the back unless they keep them in that tag team title picture, which, again, as we talked last week, there's no babyface tag teams, it seems, in WWE.
Does Gunther need a mouthpiece?
Ooh, that might be one of the only weaknesses to his game, but again,
Ivan Drago didn't need a mouthpiece.
Ivan Drago.
Rocky movies. Look him up.
You got me on that one. I wasn't ready for the Ivan Drago reference. I think you do need to get him a mouthpiece. Who that would be, Rand, I don't know. Because again, as we've talked many times on the PVD cast, there are no good male managers.
Well, there's one, but he's...
Yeah, there's one, but he's tied up. And sadly, I think doing subpar work from what he was doing.
Paul Heyman?
Oh, no. I thought we were talking about Stokely Hathaway.
Oh, no. Paul Heyman's the only one I can think of.
Okay.
Apparently, you went down further.
I was a big fan of Stokely in NXT. I just feel like in AEW, he's sinking, man. He's just
so what kind of person would be like the Jim Cornette, the...
Bobby Heenan.
Does he have to have comedy or can you get Cyrus the Virus?
I think when it comes to a manager, if the manager is going to be comedic, I think they have to be comedic. They have to be naturally funny. And I think sometimes, especially in the past, back in the day, I think sometimes managers were supposed to be comedic, but they just couldn't do the comedy itself. They could not make people laugh. And I think that is something that you just have to have.
We do have another manager working.
Who's that?
JBL.
Oh, yes, because I forgot about him with Baron Corbin, even though they were in the Rumble. I totally forgot about him.
Which doesn't say much for their work.
Go ahead.
The fact you can't remember.
Yeah, right, true, right, yep, yep. No.
Effective.
That's right, absolutely. So I think that we should, obviously, I think we also are going to see Seth Rollins and Austin Theory continue to have their battle. I think that would be a great program to get back to.
If Rhea Ripley becomes champ or a serious contender, can Dominic Mysterio be her second?
Probably.
Where he trips people from behind?
Oh, that would be great. He should. They should do that.
That would continue his character.
That certainly would. And I think we're still going to see Rey and probably Edge involved in something with the other members of the Judgment Day. I think that they're still going to be pushing those along. So it's going to be interesting over the next... few weeks, because we only have like 2 weeks and then it's Elimination Chamber.
And then total of 9 weeks.
For Mania.
Yeah.
Which certainly will be a huge event.
Two days,
April 1st and 2nd again. You did send something over here I wanted to talk about real quick. Because we mentioned it, or I mentioned it, that there's going to be a season 4 of Dark Side of the Ring. And earlier today, I believe you texted, or was this Joey that texted me? Yeah, it was Joey that texted me that there has been a small leak as to some of the episodes.
Well, good. Do tell.
So a few of the topics planned include Abdullah the Butcher. All right, that will be an interesting one.
Do you know why you never hear him speak?
Why?
He has a high-pitched voice.
He does have an odd-sounding voice. I give you that from, yeah, because he was on, you know, previous episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. Mike Awesome. I think that that would be a very good one. I mean, especially with, you know, his demise was very, very, you know, sad and, you know, unbelievable. So, yeah, definitely Mike Awesome. I'm looking forward to that one. Two more, real quick. Please. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Love him.
Yeah, that would be an interesting episode. I will look forward to seeing that one.
I compare Kevin Owens to Bam Bam Bigelow.
Really?
Doesn't have a great threatening physique. Look.
Yeah.
And yet moves well.
Yeah.
Similar shape. I love Scotty Bigelow.
I also think that, and he just recently returned, we talked about it on last episode, I think Bronson Reed reminds me a lot of Bam Bam Bigelow as well. Okay. And then the one that you mentioned that I didn't think that we would do, but there's supposedly an episode on Sunny.
I think she could be an episode of Law and Order.
She. Well, there's many. One final note here with Dark Side of the Ring. There have been many who have declined interviews, but apparently we will see Jim Cornette, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Terry Funk, and Mick Foley giving their 2 cents worth when it comes to Dark Side of the Ring Season 4.
Brings up the question of why do people decline to talk about these? Do they not want to get the heat between Tommy Dreamer and Ric Flair?
Well, like that example, you know what? I don't know. I think maybe it might be, you know, in the case of, you know, some of these, you know, like Mike Awesome and Bam Bam Bigelow, maybe it is that, you know, they don't want to talk ill of the dead. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, at this point, I think that there's not going to be too many people that have anything positive to say about Sonny. Especially with her last incident where she killed somebody, that I think there might have been some apologetics, is that a word? There might have been some people out there who said, well, you know, there's some positive in Sonny. I'm sorry. I think that when you have had a history of this behavior.
She's had every chance in the world.
I know. She's had every chance in the world, and every time she does something. And, you know, I've heard interviews with her from her past incarcerations that it didn't seem like it was a big deal to her, that she had to run in the place because of who she was. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to another season of Dark Side of the Ring, Rand. So, all right, we're getting up to our time limit, Rand. Let's start wrapping things up. Is there anything you want to talk about in terms of social media stuff or anything like that?
On Twitter, you can find me at RANDDI. Double T, MAR, and you can choke on that, slap nuts.
You're going to get a cease and desist from Jeff Jarrett. You know that, right?
Okay.
That's okay, because you have a great lawyer team, don't you?
The law firm of Sits, Waits, and Doolittle.
There you go. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, Rand, thanks. I appreciate you stopping by to talk about this with me. And I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ringside Rand discussing this year's Royal Rumble. And maybe you want to let me know what you thought about this episode. And so let me fill you in on how you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @pvdcast. And last but not least, you can also find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And maybe you want to let somebody know about the podcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues where they can hear it. First of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best avenue for catching up on all of those episodes. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. Just go to the search bar of your favorite podcast outlet, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And last but not least, every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little Facebook broadcast of the week's episode, so you can catch it there. Again, just search for @PVDcast through Facebook. And there you go. 3 very easy ways to hear every single episode. If you listen either through Facebook or through your favorite podcasting app, please help me out. If you listen through one of those outlets, rate and review. It helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets people know in those companies and in those outlets that you're listening. And so you get a chance, just leave a quick little note, give me however many stars you think I deserve. And if you are, of course, watching and listening through the Facebook broadcast on Wednesday nights, like that video. Again, it lets Facebook know you're engaged. It helps me out tremendously, and I greatly appreciate it. Oh, and I also forgot, if you're, again, if you're rating and reviewing, go ahead and subscribe. It's right there. Just click that little tab and subscribe so you never miss an episode of the PBD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out this episode, and I shall chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.